Good morning and welcome one and all. And it is time now for City Matters. I'm Tom Davis here on K1, and we have Mike Bailey in a cast of thousands today. How are you doing there, sir?
We barely fit in here today, Tom. Usually we joke about that.
Yeah.
We barely fit in here today. In fact, Lisa's sitting over in the corner. She's hoping I'll forget about her, but it's not going to happen. I've got her name on the list.
Oh, man.
Well, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Yeah, you know, looking forward to the holiday season.
Oh, man, aren't we all? I think it being so close to this weekend, I think most people actually kind of got a start on it with a little travels over the weekend, and hopefully everybody so far that's gotten an early start has had a Merry Christmas.
How often does a Monday feel like a Thursday, huh?
It's pretty great, honestly. Yeah, it's pretty great. This is my only day in the office this week, so it actually feels like a Friday. Even better.
Good.
A Monday and a Friday together. I'm not sure what to think. I guess about noon I'll start feeling good. Right now it still feels like a Monday.
You're working hard.
That's right.
What have we got going on today?
Well, Tom, Chief and Rocky are here. Chief Rolls and Deputy Chief Rocky Bevard are here, and they have to make a trip down to Ramona. We've recently provided them with some of our older police cars, so they're going to go down there and participate in a, I don't know that I'd call it a ceremony, but a presentation for that. And so I'm gonna let them jump on so that they can get on the road. But guys, you guys actually had quite a bit of holiday and Christmas activities going on over the, I guess, last week or so. I think it started with Shop with a Cop, which sounded like was a resounding success. They won't let me drive a police car, so I don't get to participate.
That's good for all of us. Oh.
You are entirely correct. But I hear it went really well. Tell us a little bit about how that one went this year.
Well, it started Friday morning at about 7 o'clock. We started putting some baskets of food, Christmas food, together, 25 of them, and delivered them to 25 families in mostly Bartlesville, but in the area. That went very, very well. It was good to get to do that.
Yeah.
It was good to get to help people in a way that law enforcement typically doesn't help people.
Yeah.
You know, we typically don't feed people in law enforcement. But that was cool to get to go out and do that. And all the people that we talked to Friday morning were very appreciative and very happy and very thankful.
And that was all collected by donations. That was you guys collected throughout our organization. It was at City Hall, and I know that down at the police department, and it was... I'm glad you all did that, and you're right. That's a way that you all don't always get to interact with the public, so I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, all from donations. Like you said, the employees of the city pitched in. There was a few of us from the police department who purchased some things. We purchased hams from a local vendor. It went very well. Next year, I'd like to double our efforts, go from 25 to maybe 50 baskets, and just keep getting bigger.
The need will always be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was one of the things that you guys had done, and then there was also the Shop with a Cop, which I think is actually Sheriff's Department and the Police Department. It's more than just us.
Well, the Sheriff's Office does something similar with the food baskets and Shop with a Cop, but this is just... This was driven by our local Fraternal Order of Police.
The food delivery was, right?
No, both
of them?
Cop,
okay.
Shop with the Cop was. The food delivery was donations from the police department. Shop with the Cop was organized and funded by the FOP. It was a major success. Crossroads Baptist Church allowed us to come in there and actually feed the kiddos and their families,
awesome.
Which was outstanding. Made it a big deal for the kids. They got to interact with police officers just in a non-threatening,
yep.
very comfortable environment. And then, so you mentioned you didn't get to drive a police car. Maybe some next year we can work something out and not necessarily allow you to drive a police car.
Rocky's still somewhat resistant to this idea, I can tell.
Yeah, Deputy Chief Bevard might not. He might be in my office if I just say, okay, just go ahead and drive one, but... We drove the kids from Crossroads Baptist in police cars with lights and sirens down Highway 75.
A huge procession.
It was. We probably should have done a better job of announcing that, because I am sure that people in Bartlesville thought that something bad had happened when they saw 50 police cars, lights and sirens going down Highway 75.
We had a few people on the hotline saying, hey,
what's going on?
Yeah.
But what a great thing for those kids to be involved in. And, I mean, it was that day was all about them. it was big, it was loud, you know, they were the center of attention. So, and these are for kids who are from in need. And so absolutely. I thought that was a fantastic thing. I love the procession. I think that's a great idea to be able to do that. And for them to see, you know, a police car and police officers in a good light and in a positive interaction.
And then when we got to Walmart, you know, they get to go and shop. But Walmart did an outstanding job as well. They provided some treats for the kids. Santa was there. The kiddos got to take pictures with Santa, and Walmart gave them the picture for free. So it was a really cool deal, and really good to hear those kiddos' stories and their giving spirit. You know, we're spending money on them, or we're giving them money to spend, but yeah. Very seldom do they spend it on themselves. They buy their brothers or sisters, their family
that's,
stuff.
That's been the cool. story for years, and mm-hmm. I've always loved that part about yeah. it is that it's all about them, and they're taking and they're giving. I think, were they given $100 to spend?
That's correct.
And, of course, they always buy gifts for, you know, their brothers and sisters who aren't part of it. So I think that's just about the coolest yeah. thing ever.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. And I was so happy for our police officers who donated their time to go out there. There were a lot of police officers there.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be. No one made them. They did it because they wanted to. And it was really cool to get to see those guys interact and gals go out there and spend their time with those kiddos.
Highway Patrol had troopers there, too.
Yeah, the Highway Patrol had someone there. We had one of our canines there. It was just a cool deal. You know, it was a really cool deal. Everyone in Walmart that we talked to was very appreciative and very thankful for what we're doing. And it was a neat deal.
Well, and that's this time of year, it's always good to see those kinds of things. And, of course, the police department gets involved in it, the Fraternal Order of Police, the fire department, the IAFF, which is their local union organization. For years, we have received it's an anonymous donation. I know who it comes from, but I'm not allowed to disclose. And we receive a pretty large donation every year from someone here in town, a great citizen of Bartlesville, and it goes to the utility department. And it is with the instruction that it be given to somebody worthy who's struggling. And man, it's funny to me because that person intends that as a gift to the utility customer, but it is also a gift to the ladies who work. So when you talked about the officers volunteering their time, you should see the excitement of the ladies down there when you take that check over and say, all right, it's time to pick somebody who's struggling, let's help them out. And it's usually divided up amongst four or five different people, and it helps them get caught up. They don't have to worry about a utility bill during Christmas. So a lot of great giving and things like that during this time of year, and it's always fun to be a part of. So I appreciate you guys, appreciate your officers, and appreciate everything that you did during that. Very very exciting time of year, and it's a great time to be in Bartlesville. I think we're pretty unique. Now, Chief, before you slip away, there's a police chief offers rides on New Year's Eve. And he offers rides, but the police chief won't actually be given the rides this year.
This
will be the first year. Last year, you actually personally gave the rides.
Right. My wife has instructed me that spending time with her on the beach is more important than me driving around at 2 in the morning on Christmas Eve. So I said, yes, ma'am. And many of my staff have been so gracious in accepting the offer to do it. And it's a big deal that we continue to do this. You know, I think since we've done it a couple times and we've had three or four people take us up on it, which in the big scheme of life, that's not a lot of numbers, but, you know, it only takes one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And as long as we can save that one and prevent some sort of tragedy from occurring, that's what's important. So this New Year's Eve, if you've had too much to drink and you don't want to drive home, which we would encourage you not to.
Absolutely.
Call dispatch, and they'll get you hooked up with somebody from the police department to take them home, as long as it's within the city limits of Bartlesville. And again, it's not about, as long as there's one, as long as we can prevent one tragedy, that's what's important. And again, it's a lot of fun. The officers have fun. I had a blast doing it. It's a great
thing.
Get
to meet some interesting people.
Get to meet some interesting people.
2 a.m. on New Year's Eve, don't you?
And the thought of, you know, them being intoxicated and calling the police, number one, is odd. But then, number two, when the police doesn't take them to jail,
they take them home instead.
It's even more odd for them. So, but it's a lot of fun. And hopefully more people. We've had several people from the police foundation and other police officers and friends of the police department call and offer to volunteer their time to help us out and to be with us. So it's really cool to see that kind of response from our end. Deputy Chief Bivard will get to run the show that night, so I have full...
He'll be leading the charge.
...full faith that it will be a successful event.
Will he be responding to dispatch with Roger Uber and out?
Yep. Okay, or something wondering. To that. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I think, and the number is 338-4001.
That's correct.
And there's lots of information out there about it, because I suspect at 2 a.m. on New Year's Eve, you might forget that phone number. You can always Google... and it'll come up, and in fact, it's in City Beat if you receive that, so you'll have it that night, because I don't anticipate that anybody will remember that number.
One thing I learned from the last time is one of the people that we got to take home had programmed the number into his phone and set an alarm.
He had planned, huh?
Yeah, so it said, call the chief.
Good thinking.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he had this plan for quite some time, according to him.
He was actually quite excited about it. So
he was.
We'll hope we get more people to take advantage of it. And as you said, it just takes one. So
on that note, I might remind everybody that we are in the middle of the Drive Sober, Get Pulled Over national campaign, and our department is always heavily involved in that. So you can expect to see increased patrol and checkpoints possibly during the holidays. So please take advantage of this kind of thing.
Yep.
So we can keep the roads safe during the holiday season.
Plenty of options out there.
Exactly.
Other than driving, even if it's questionable. Yep. I'm sure we've all felt like we could drive at times when we probably shouldn't have been. So mm-hmm. if you feel that way, just don't. Lots of choices.
Yeah.
Lots of choices. So. All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Give the police department and Ramona my best, and thank you all for coming in and starting our radio program off.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
And Merry Christmas to you too, sir.
Thank you, Rocky. Thank you, Chief.
Nice meeting you, Rocky. Chief, see ya.
The one of the things that the police department started, now that they're leaving, I can talk about it. I can take full credit for it since they're now out of the room.
Okay.
No, the you know what. We'll get some questions about this because it's an interesting device. If you see a digital that looks like a traffic sign or looks like a speed sign,
mm-hmm.
It's actually reporting your speed back to you. It will notify you if you are speeding. These will be mounted on poles around town. This is it's called a traffic cloud device. And so it was on Bison, I think, yesterday. I just saw it last night as I was driving out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what that's doing is, number one, it's helping to slow people down and alerting them when their speed is in excess of what the posted limit is. The second thing that it's doing is it's tracking those speeds. And so as people are going through there, we're able to determine if there is speeding. These are usually based on complaints. So we'll get a neighborhood complaint that they say, you know, they're speeding in my neighborhood. Well, we want to be able to enforce that and target it at a specific time when they're actually the speeding occurs, because it may be at 7:30 and only at 5:30. Well, we don't want to sit out there for 8 hours. We want to catch it when the people are speeding. So people will start to see this around, but that really is what it's doing, is that it's sort of slowing people down. The other thing that it's doing is it's helping us track where this speeding is occurring in town so that we can target our enforcement. But we have one of those devices right now, and I suspect if it's successful, we'll start to roll out more and more of them. And it's portable. They'll move it around town as they receive these complaints. So if you would like this put in your neighborhood, feel free to reach out again to the police department.
You can put it right next to where you used to live.
you got somewhere in mind here.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
I understand.
Your old neighborhood.
I understand. Yes. Yeah. There was a where I used to live was pretty. There was quite a bit of speeding. In fact, the former traffic engineer and I had lots of conversations about speeding on my block.
I bet.
Unfortunately, there's just only so much you can do. So hopefully, this is just another tool in our toolbox.
But, very good.
All right, with that, we've got Lisa Beeman and Micah Seamers here, and I'll start off with Lisa. Lisa has been absent for a while because she's been in charge of an implementation of a large software program called EnerGov that deals a lot with her department, deals with land use, permitting, zoning, all those cool things, and I think we're almost ready to go live, aren't we, B?
We are. I haven't been on second floor very much. I've been on the third floor in the software training, computer training lab
She's
for about...
taking it over, by the way.
About 10 months now. But the city is not just my department, but various departments are together. We are working to implement what's called an ERP, which is an enterprise resource planning system. But basically what that is, it's a management software system that integrates all the various functions of the different departments of the city into one system where we can streamline processes and share information across all city departments. Right now, like if you come to the city second floor and you get a permit, you have to go downstairs and pay for it, and then you have to come back upstairs with your receipt in order to get your permit. Mm-hmm. And I know that's very frustrating for everyone. This new system allows us to streamline that so you can come into City Hall and you can get your plans and your permits, and then you go right downstairs, you pay, you get your permit there or your business license or whatever you're coming in for, and you don't have to come back upstairs. So that's one very small part of improving customer service, which is what this Intergo system will do for us. Not only there's a lot of back office functions that will become more efficient, but we will have a citizen self-service web portal that a person, and we want people to do this. I mean, we want it to be easy for them, but it's a 24/7 where you can go online. If people like me, you're like me, you can't sleep at 3 a.m, so you think, I got to get a permit tomorrow. I'll just do that now. So you literally can sign in. You have to create an account, but you can request your building permits, your business license renewal, alcohol permits, any type of application or for planning or anything that our office deals with, including engineering. You can apply for those online via this portal. You'll also be able to submit plans and permits online. You can request inspections online, and we will have an electronic review process that will help internally in the back office function so that when we send this electronic review out, it goes out to various department heads, and they can do it at their desk on their computer and not have to come into City Hall where they come now to look at a set of plans and write your comments in a pen, red pen, and then we got to collate all that. So this will allow us to do that in a much more efficient manner, and also for the applicant to be able to track where their permit or their plan is in the process. We will also have the ability to provide mobile services for the field staff. So those who are doing like code enforcement or building or engineering inspections, they'll be able to complete the data in the field. Right now, they take notes. They have to come back into the office, type it all into the computer. This will help that. It'll streamline that. It will be a lot more efficient. Also, the data, not all data, not personal data or that sort of thing, but when we have a GIS system, it's an online mapping system that you can actually see on our city website right now. But people will be able to sign into that, and they can see where building construction activity is occurring. They can see where code enforcement activity is occurring in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So they'll have kind of a better idea about some of the things that are going on. But this whole system, I think, will, not just for my department with Intergov, but there are other departments that are doing other things, like work orders. The police department has a part of this that will actually, you know, they'll be working. But in the end, this should help us to share what previously were silos of information that we all had. So we each had our own little silo of information. We had our own software system. We had our own database. And they didn't talk to each other. So this will allow those silos of information to talk to each other, to share databases. Hopefully, if you turn in your, you know, name and address and phone number for a building permit, you won't have to turn it in again when you come in to pay a water bill or something like that. So we're hoping this will help to automate citizen requests for service and to be a lot more efficient and effective about how we do it. And after about 10 months of sitting in a room with no windows, not knowing what's going on, literally a little mushroom all by my little self, with any luck, January 6th is our go-live date. And so it won't be perfect. We're going to encourage everybody to sign up for services online. I know a lot of people are kind of, well, I don't like to do things online, but trust me, this will help everybody be more efficient, and they can get responses quicker. We can automate, if we have email addresses, we can automate responses so that when you submit an application, you get an email back that says, hey, we've got your application, we're processing it, you'll hear from us within 24 hours or something. So we're trying to take advantage of the technology and improve our services to the public. I know a lot of times they don't want to come in to see, they don't want to take time out of their day to get in the car, drive downtown, and stand in line at a counter to wait for services. So we want to really try to help people get what they need. We live in a world where everybody wants things quickly. You know, we want service quick. We want our dinner quick. You know, we live in that kind of a day and age now. I don't see that changing. Honestly, when they can deliver my groceries to my house, I'll be all over that.
Maybe so, the last time you leave except to come to work.
It may be. Maybe. So that's what we're looking to do, and I think everyone will just be patient with us. But come January 6th, we'll do a lot of public press releases. We'll do some tutorials and training in the house and in office to try to help people get adjusted to it. So we're very excited. Right.
And this has been a very long process. I think this is actually the third year that we've been involved in this implementation.
Right.
The first year of it was the accounting and finance side of it. The second year was human resources and payroll. And the third year now has been intergovernmental. I say third year. They actually overlapped.
Yeah,
each of
them
had a 12-month cycle, but they overlapped to some degree. We're actually having a fourth phase that will start with work orders. The police are actually getting ready on their part of it in the near future. Mm-hmm. We'll also have a court conversion that goes with the police, then eventually utility billing. So more than likely within a 5 to 6 year window, we will have updated all of our software, which honestly, a lot of our software was 20 to 30 year old technology.
Yeah, so way outdated.
We were a little behind in some of our technology needs. And of course, you feel a little bit like a dog chasing its tail with technology. About the time you get caught up, it's time to start over again.
Right.
And we've talked about painting the Golden Gate Bridge. When you get to one end, you start back over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's technology. Just about when you're caught up, it's time to start again. But we feel really good about the software systems we've chosen. They are automatically, you receive the latest updates. So all of this stuff is, we believe we've got a great product. It's been quite a Herculean effort to get it to this point, and I appreciate everybody that's been involved in it. I have not been involved in it to the degree that any of them have, and I know that Jason Munninger led the first part of it. Laura Sanders led the second part of it, and now Lisa Beeman is leading the third part of it. And it's every section has its own champion, and I know it's very exhausting, but I appreciate what they've done. And in the end, the citizens will see the result in two ways. Number one, we become more efficient and more cost-effective. And number two, we become better at customer service. We're able to do things that I think citizens expect. They expect to be able to log on online and do a lot of functions that we just can't right now. So,
there will be a kind of a second thing that I have yet to launch, and it'll come probably mid-year. But we want to have the ability for people to request online. So right now, if you want to submit a request for code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place you can do that online, but we would like to have as part of this intergov where you can request, like a code enforcement thing, or maybe report a pothole or a broken curb or something like that that can then be sent to a central place and sent out. So people don't have to call in to the different departments, get passed from one department to another. So that's a second phase kind of, it's the very minor part, but we'll be doing that also sometime next year. But looking forward to helping, you know, do our job more efficiently and effectively in serving the citizens.
So Lisa is ready to put this behind her.
I am.
And now looking ahead, we have a... Well, Micah, first, I think you have an update on some of the projects that we have currently in the works, and then we'll talk briefly. I know we're going to run out of time if we're not careful.
Yeah, I got a whole list here. We can maybe hit the highlights
a
little bit.
We'll talk a little bit about where we are as far as the council's consideration of a potential election in the spring of next year. But I know people are always interested in what projects are going on. And
sure.
Honestly, once they've started, when are they going to be done and out of my way? I think is people's main concern.
Well, I don't know that I can tell them a lot of that.
They're really nice fellas, but they've been here a bit.
Not going to give that information away just yet. No, so we do have a few projects under construction now. Of course, we got Barlow. Now we're working on that. It's a concrete street rehab project. We're just about 85% complete on that. We're closer than that, but we're adding a little bit more to it. So we found some other panels we'd like to replace there. So we probably have another month or so on that project. We've got the Ohio, Harvard, and Hazel asphalt rehab project. We've finished Ohio and Harvard. We're currently working on Hazel. There's a little bit more full depth repair on that project. It's not just a mill and overlay there. There are some ADA ramps and things of that nature. So that's the last one of those three projects to complete. And we're probably about 50% complete on that construction. So you got another, I'd say about another month on that as well if we get some good weather.
That will be key to that one because when we're dealing with asphalt, there's certain weather restrictions that we have to work within certain surface temperatures.
Wait for proper temperatures for the asphalt. Yeah. So I think it's 42 or 43 degrees and rising is what you typically look for on laying asphalt. So we will. I mean, we got some good weather this week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We're not
a whole lot of work going on this week, but hopefully I don't miss this window completely. But as far as that, that's our street projects we got going. We've got a bunch of projects actually getting ready to start. We're kind of in that initial phase on a lot of these things. So we've got Woodland Road is going to kick off. That's at the entrance into Woodland off of Highway 75 there by Redeemer Lutheran Church. We're going from there, going a couple blocks in with the concrete rehab project. That'll start in February. We've got a contractor selected, KSL Dirtworks, and we'll set up a pre-construction meeting with them and get that going hopefully in February. We've got the Frank Phillips rehab project. That's an asphalt mill and overlay project from essentially the railroad tracks in downtown all the way west out to Sunset.
Where we left off with the last phase of that.
Redo the rest of the asphalt on Frank Phillips going west. And so that's we've selected sometime in February to start that. Again, that's going to be weather dependent as well. The contractor would like to get going the first part of February, but he said, hey, let's just make sure we don't have snow on the ground like that. But looking into February, start on that. Let's see, we've got the East Downtown Storm Sewer Project. So that's a continuation of the work that City Crews had already done. They're from the community center, essentially to 5th Street, is what our city crews completed. And then the contractor is going to take off and go from where they left off at 5th Street. They'll go through the alley up to 4th Street. They'll kind of angle over to Osage, go about a half block north on Osage, north of 4th Street. And again, this is just upgrading that storm sewer system, increasing the capacity to try to eliminate some flooding issues we had with the community, not the community center, but the Price Tower.
Price Tower and that area.
Intersection there at 5th and 5th between Osage and Dewey. So I got that project getting ready. They're actually going to start on the south end. There's some tie-in work that we got to do on Adams. And so that's the first work you'll see happening there. January 6th is the start date on that. So I guess be a week or so from this coming Monday, next Monday.
And that project's kind of a keystone project in that there's a lot of other things that can't be done until it gets done.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that hinge on that one. Of course, we did some work early on to facilitate the tower project. But this also, we've got our downtown streets project kind of hinges on this. We need to get that work done so we can come in over the top of it with the mill and overlay there. We've got the downtown signage project for bike signage and things of that nature from Johnstone Park. Through into Frank Phillips, so that project is all coupled with that. And then another one that links to those as well is the landscaping on Frank Phillips that we're going to be doing. So all those kind of link together, so we're trying to coordinate that, but this is the first step in that direction. So I'm getting the numbers here to run out of time.
As far as when people can expect to see the downtown streets, that one, what's our time frame we're thinking?
Not set in stone. We're trying to wrap up design by the end of January on that. If we can get that one out for bids then, you're looking at 30 days getting it awarded. So another month there, so you're talking February, March. I mean, you're looking at April time frame probably. So
could be starting the downtown streets about the time that we're opening up the Tower Center. So it's
correct.
It's kind of, there's been a lot of projects that we're trying to get them out of the way.
A lot going on downtown, for sure.
But that'll be a great project, and it's definitely time for that one. But I just wanted everybody to understand that project hinges on others, and that's the reason that it's been delayed.
It does. Yeah, we would have liked to have that one going already, but when we really got to looking at it, we're like, wait a minute. It
made more sense.
We can't do this before we do that.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to do that and then cut it. So as far as we've got about a minute left here, as far as the consideration for the election, the city council, we will be meeting with them January 6th.
Correct.
We've made one presentation that had some staff recommendations on it.
Right.
After that, the projects, a couple of groups of projects, one of them went back to the street and traffic committee, and one of them went to the park board. Those two committees have actually prioritized their projects and their recommendations to council. So all of that should come together January 6th. If their citizens are interested in what is included in that, first off, there's information available. Second off, that night will be a great night if you're interested in seeing what projects we can expect. That will be when the discussion really begins.
Right.
We expect that the council will likely call the election sometime, probably at our February meeting for maybe an April election date. But that has yet to be decided, so come join us January 6th if you have an interest in it.
All right. And thank you once again. Merry Christmas to everyone, and appreciate it.